Yeah, good morning. Get the water wings out while you're sharpening your shovels there, Larry Glass. How are you?
Fine. take that shovel and dig out to get the water out of the hole.
Move some of that agua around.
Yeah, we need it. We need a little bit of rain.
Yeah.
January, golly, what a fast month.
It's almost done.
Golly. A lot happened this month, too.
more
things won, but anyway. Yeah, it's good. I guess this rain coming on is good because some of the plants are beginning to get a little bit on the dry side.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a bit of rain like this in the middle of the winter.
It beats the big snow.
Well, you know, you realize if it were just a little bit cool out there.
Yeah, we'd be talking another tune here.
Yeah.
We're talking zinger time.
Four-wheel drive time. That's right. Uh-huh. Big zinger. But anyway, it's getting ready to get kind of busy.
Yep.
And I know last week I talked about picking out your tomato seeds and getting ready for that, too. And getting your soil ready also for the garden. So that's kind of what you need to do. It's a lot goes on this upcoming month, though. Spring will be here shortly. It's time now to do your pruning. I did a lot of pruning on my maple trees.
How'd that go for you?
Went really well. I got up on a ladder and got a saw and cut them all. And I found some errantly cut branches, too. I refreshed those. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty good. I got them cleaned up. I had some dead branches, too. I had some borers on my maple trees, too.
Ooh,
lots
wow.
of borer damage. Well, I'm going to take care of that this spring.
Yes.
So anyway. Cut them down, no. No, we'll do that, no, anyway. But anyway, heavy pruning on hollies, yews, nandinas, and liriopia, all that will happen in the upcoming month.
Mm-hmm.
But don't do it right now. We can still get a good cold spell. So you need that, especially on your liriopia and your ornamental grasses. We need to have that plumage up there now to help insulate them from the cold. Because it can still, even February, it can still get cold.
Oh,
although it's
yes.
not as often as it is, say, in December and January. Mm-hmm. But when it does get cold, a lot of times it's associated with rain as the weather patterns shift.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to give a, just don't do it yet.
No!
And when it comes to watering, be sure to check it first and see if it needs water. You don't want to overwater.
No.
In all this time of doing all this stuff with the nursery, the biggest problem people have with their plants is they water them too much.
Well, they do.
Yeah, and then the root system rots out and the plant subsequently dies off.
I got you.
And we grow these plants for years. Sometimes they're 10 years old when they're ready for sale. People bring them home and in a week they're dead.
Oh, no. That's not a way to go.
No, you've been caring for this plant for so many years and all of a sudden somebody brings them home and kills them. And it's too much water. So it's a good idea. It's a practice we follow at the nursery is on our plants. Is we let them get dry before they have to be watered.
Make sure that they're good and thirsty.
Exactly. So that's kind of what little is going on right now this week. Not much.
We're quenching thirsts.
Exactly. It's a good time also right now to plant some trees in the landscape. We planted a couple of big ones this week and more on the way. And And the selection's pretty good. We got a line of really nice dogwoods right now.
I bet.
Yeah, so they're going to be in bloom soon. The buds are starting to swell, just a little bit on them. And I noticed the maple trees. So when I was trimming mine, the flower buds are starting to swell up a little bit. So it's not that far away. But anyway, we do have a good selection of trees at this point at the nursery. Mm-hmm. And more on the way. So come on, check it out, too, if you want a tree. Maybe not today.
Not today.
But some other time. It's also a good time to do some planning for your landscape. I'm getting some calls from people wanting to get their landscape plans done and get in line to have some work done this spring. So it's a great time to do some planning on that. And planning is really an important part. That way you know what to accept, what mm-hmm. to expect, you know what's coming on, not only aesthetic-wise, but expense-wise, you know what's coming on too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a good idea to settle your curiosity, if anything. Well, how much would it cost to do something about this house?
Mm-hmm.
And a landscape plan is a good way to do that.
So. Yes, it is.
So anyway, we provide a budget for you and all that too, over at the Green Thumb Nursery. Mm-hmm. So you can make some decisions also. So anyway, speaking of landscape, the tree of the week is a Acer Grisium. Or the, guess what the name of that plant is? Acer griseum.
You got me.
Or griseum. It's the paper bark maple.
There you go.
Now, the paper bark maple has, see this interesting, for those of you with color radio, you can see the bark, the paper, the bark that kind of peels off. It's kind of reminiscent of river birch, if you will.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But this doesn't get so big. Only gets about 20 feet tall or so, maybe 15 feet wide or so. I've rarely have seen them more than 12 feet tall, perhaps 8 feet wide in this town. But anyway, the leaves are like maples, are opposite and green and kind of trifoliate-shaped leaves, really. A little silvery and so on. Good, good fall color. And some of the leaves can persist into the winter. The flowers aren't very showy. It has little, like maples, little turdigigs. But this is a good specimen interest plant. In the landscape somewhere. And we've planted a few in town. They've done pretty well. So paper bark maple is a good one to have. Good drainage. they're not a lowland. Some of the maples are upland. Some of them are low. This is a lowland maple tree. So it does tolerate a wide variety of soil types, but it is not drought tolerant. So you might want to ensure to mulch it real heavily or put it in an area that perhaps is irrigated. Not necessarily in an area that's poorly drained, but maybe the one that's irrigated for it to do very well. It can get real stressed out if it gets too dry. So this is a good specimen tree, but not one you really want to
feature.
To be too dry.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, that's close to the house. You can use it maybe in place of one of my least favorite trees, which we'll get into a little bit later.
Okay.
The river birch. Because it does have kind of a similar look to it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, now the shrub of the week would be Encore Azaleas.
Okay.
This is a different plant. It is ericaceous like the rest of the azaleas, but it does require a bit more sun. You say, ericaceous? What does that mean? Ericaceous is a term that refers to plants that are acid requiring.
Got it.
Such as blueberries and cranberries. Azaleas, rhododendrons, some hollies or things like that are considered ericaceous plants. Ooh. So
I was just rolling with it, man.
But anyway, they require an organic acidic soil.
Uh-huh.
They're indigenous to the forest areas. Azaleas are in general to the forest floor, if you will, where there's typically a lot of acid in the soil. And place with the igneous rock base, for instance, the mountains of North Carolina and Georgia and all that. They do very well. Yeah, when I lived in Georgia, we just threw azaleas in the ground. Just
they pulled, do their thing, huh?
Pulled them out of the back of the Mercury and just kicked them into the ground. They did fine. So they did very well, but that's not the case here.
No, you have to take a little bit more care.
Now, a lot of people think azaleas require a lot of shade. But for the Encore Azaleas, and there's the Bloomathon Azaleas are parallel to that. Mm-hmm. It's quite the contrary. They require a good amount of sunshine for them to grow. These typically bloom pretty much all the time, but they bloom in the spring, a little bit in the summer here and there, and then in the fall they do their thing too. So you get a little bit more than your Apusums and your Karumis and other kind of maples, but I mean not maples, azaleas.
Azaleas.
This microphone keeps looking at me.
I'm done. Well, we got it from the CIA.
I'm just kidding. No, yeah. But anyway, it, other, it's not quite like other azaleas. They require more sun, and they perform poorly in a shady situation. So you want to give them some light. Them to do very well. If you want an azalea in the shade, you might consider perhaps a deciduous azalea, otherwise known as the Expiry type. They're deciduous, meaning there's no leaves in the winter. So right now there's nothing to look at, but maybe kind of a set of deer antlers or a hat rack or something out in the yard. But they do bloom rather nicely, and they have a really good flower show in the spring for a fairly short period of time. So, but anyway, this one does like the sun. And you have to plant it in peat moss, just like you do other azaleas. So that requirement is not it's not withdrawn from that. So, but anyway, Encore azaleas, they're evergreen types. They do pretty well. They do have they don't seem to have as much of a problem with the lacewing as the regular azaleas do. the spring blooming azaleas. They don't seem to have that much of a problem. They do have a problem with a disease called shot hole, which causes little holes in the thing, kind of like some of your cherry laurels and things will get that a little bit too, and your autolucans laurel will get shot hole. I've seen that in this plant as well, which is rather odd for an azalea plant, but it's not that big a deal, not as big as the lacewing is on the regular azaleas. So I've seen really very few pests on these. The biggest problem I've seen with them is inadequate sunshine and improper soil preparation and poor drainage. Those are the three big problems of all of these plants. So, but nonetheless, if you can solve all those problems and give it some light, some good soil, and water it occasionally, but not too much, they'll do very well.
Just pay a little bit of attention to it.
Lots of mulch.
Yeah.
And once they get established, there'll be less and less and less of that water maintenance to be concerned about, too, because the root system will be more established and spread out. So consider that in the landscape composition. We've planted them on the hot west side of the house. They do great. We've planted them on the east side of the house. They do great. We've planted them on the north side in an open situation where there's no trees around or anything. Mm-hmm. They do just fine.
Get lots of
them. We've planted them in the shade, and they've done poorly. So.
Don't want that.
No. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, Encore azaleas, Bloomathon azaleas, kind of a genetic parallel.
Okay.
But it depends on the licensing and the
I get it. Yeah.
And all that.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, okay. So, we're going to come back with a little bit more in just a moment right here on the Green Country Gardener program after this 2-minute, 10-second timeout.
Hello, this is Tim from United Reynolds. If you call United Reynolds Strategic Sales Team, you may not get someone directly with Bartlesville, but you'll get someone from the Tulsa Metro. We all pull out of the same inventory. The reason we do that is so that we can give each customer the amount of time that they need. We don't want to rush anyone, and that's why we have a strategic sales team call center. We are local and customer focused. You can give us a call at United Reynolds, 918-333-9580.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5 inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
Hello, it's me, the designer jeans in your closet. The back of your closet. What am I doing here? Would you keep caviar in the back of your fridge with the ketchup and old milk? Yeah, I don't think so. So, what happened to us? I mean, have you seen my label? I used to summer in the Hamptons, and now I'm stuck behind a pair of sweats. Sure, I never really fit you quite right, and one of my pockets is so small you can't even squeeze your hand into it. But it's all about the look. And I look good. I need to get back out on the scene so I can be seen. You know, going to fancy parties, getting expensive iced coffees, Sunday fun days, okay? So take me to Goodwill, where I can really make a difference.
Your donations to Goodwill create new jobs, training programs, and education assistance for people in your community. To find your nearest donation center, go to goodwill.org. Donate stuff. Create jobs. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Bartlesville's News Talk, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Don't even want the attention, but yes. Good morning. Welcome back to the Green Country Garden Program on a rainy, rainy, rainy Saturday morning. And, of course, your phone calls are welcome at 1-800-749-5936. I'm Tom, and our expert is Larry Glass today. We've been talking about quite a number of things here.
Yeah, we talked about the tree of the week, which is the Acer Grisium, and the shrub of the week, which is the Encore Azalea.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about weeds.
Weeds. We got weeds. I thought we were supposed to go out and kill all those before, right around Thanksgiving or something like that.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you've got hen bit and all that, you missed the fall.
Yeah.
The fall application of weed control. I did a little bit of some of my, I missed a spot or two. As Kevin pointed it out to me, you've got hen bit by your mailbox. Well, sorry. If that's all I've got, that's not a big deal.
And bit happened.
But as far as the spring weeds that are going to come up, kind of missed the boat on the weed control.
Yeah.
However, it is going to be fairly warm this week, I think. So applications of glyphosate or Roundup will do pretty well to control that. So if you've got some weeds, which I do have, a few little weeds in the yard, not that big a deal. You can do a post-emergent. Now, that a post-emergent could take the place of a broadleaf control, which is something like 2,4-D or Trimec or something like some others, that basically targets that specific variety of plants. And you use those if you have, say, fescue grass, then you've got some henbit and chickweed coming up in your fescue. You want to use a broadleaf weed control because it'll... The Roundup has no selectivity. It just controls everything. But anyway, excuse me, goodness.
Yeah, but Roundup anyway. Just take it all out.
But anyway, so in your fescue, I mean, in your Bermuda grass and your soldier grass, you can use a little Roundup on it. I might do that if the rain quits tomorrow.
It might.
On the yard. But anyway, pre-emergent for crabgrass, you got a little bit of time yet. St. Patrick's Day typically is the time you want to do that. And you do that in that time frame because it lasts about 3 months typically. Sure. So now is a good time to do ground prep in your annual beds and things. If you have where you plant impatiens and coleus and marigolds and whatnot, it's a good time this time of year to get that ground turned over and get it ready. Because when the time comes to plant them, It's more funner.
more funner.
Rather than having to do all the work of turning over the soil and all that. If you do it right now, if kind of like me, you could use a workout anyway. But it does help to get that ground ready ahead of time. And I know in doing the ground prep in my yard, the maple trees, the roots kind of invade the planter beds in front of the house. You got to dig all those out too, otherwise my flowers just don't do well. So anyway, it's time for maybe ground prep, time to think about your plants too and get the ground ready. And it's time to do a post-emergent weed control in the lawn as far as what's going on out there. Also a good time for pruning. Typically fruit trees are pruned this time of year just before they really start to grow. So, and what you want to look for in your fruit trees is, first of all, damaged wood. In other words, you look at it and that broken branch or something, you want to cut it back to the main trunk.
Flush.
You really don't want to leave an open wound like that, especially on your fruit trees. So you look for damaged wood at first when you do your pruning on your fruit trees. Secondarily, what I like to look for is what is called conflicting wood. In other words, it crosses over, crossing wood, and it kind of rubs like that.
Yeah.
It might be structurally sound. It might be a really nice, strong branch and all that. But if it's rubbing on another branch somewhere, one of them has to go. Because you're just asking for insects and diseases when you have rubbing branches like that. Also, even if it rubs on, a structure on your house or something, you need to cut that away from there, too.
Yeah.
Because not only does it damage the tree, but it also damages the house. So you want to ensure that any wood like that's rubbing around like that is trimmed off and cut back flush to the trunk too. Get that out of the way. Then you look for, on fruit trees especially, you look for a balance in the branch.
Sure.
The branch comes up like this and you got little side branches coming off. And if you have more on one side than you do to another, you get a little bit of torsional stress on the branch.
So you need to even that out and balance that out.
You need to balance it out, yeah. Typically, the wood on a pear tree or a cherry tree is not overly strong. And if you apply a torsion, it's its weakest strength point is the torsional stress. So you want to make sure that's kind of balanced, if you will. So look at each branch individually and see if there's a whole lot on the left side and not much on the right side. And then you might want to thin it out a little bit on one side just so it's kind of a balanced branch coming off over there.
There you go. The more you know.
Really, really. And another thing is the balance of the tree itself. The last item you want to consider maybe is aesthetics, because you have to live with these plants.
Yeah. You have to look at them.
You got to look at them. So do they have a nice appearance in the landscape too? And then another important factor I didn't mention also is branches that are damaged from, say, insect activity like that. You want to look for that too. Look for borers. Look for these problems that your plants have. And then in the middle of the month, it's time to put down a dormant oil, for instance, to kill off any overwintering eggs of insects. And also in the middle of the month, it's time to put down a fungicide. The newest one is the copper fungicide. Mm-hmm. The lime sulfur is kind of past tense. I don't know if you can get it anymore. But now we're using the copper fungicide, copper sulfate. It does a very good job of controlling overwintering fungus problems.
I'll be darned.
And this is especially important on peach trees because they have a symptom known as peach leaf curl. Is when the leaf is normally kind of flat. Well, it kind of does this cups and then it curls downward like that.
Yeah.
And that's it gets kind of wrinkly. That's the peach leaf curl. Now, the disease that is in the peach leaf curl can also get passed on to the fruit mm-hmm. and cause a scab on the fruit or unevenly ripening fruit or unevenly forming fruit. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of stuff you put in the ice cream, I guess.
Oh,
you don't want to eat something like that, just raw like that. You might put it or make a peach pie out of it or something, but it's not very pretty.
No.
So you want to watch what you want to spray for that as well. Get ready for that too. Mm-hmm. And also look for damage from borers and everything else. And it's a good idea also on your fruit trees to keep the grass away from it.
And why is that?
Just so the weed whacker and the mower don't cause damage on the
start
tree.
Start hitting the tree.
And that's an open invitation to fungus, borers, and other various and sundry little insects and things.
Avoidables, as they call them, yeah.
Yeah, avoidables. So let's be proactive and try to keep them neat and clean. And also, if you live in an area where there's a lot of rodents, say rabbits and maybe rats, maybe.
Rabbits.
As soon as they figure out that there's all kinds of nice little sweet stuff coming in that fruit tree, they're going to capitalize on that. So you want to, kind of like buying stock real low or whatever. mm-hmm. You'll want to protect your tree from that. And a bituminous impregnated paper tree wrap works very well because they don't like that. Mm-hmm. It kind of stretches too with it. We have a synthetic tree wrap that works rather well too. It kind of stretches with the plant. And it does do a good job of keeping away those overwintering insects that are trying to get a free meal at the expense of your fruit trees. Or any other plant for that matter. So basically it's getting time to spray them up and wrap them up and trim them up.
There you go.
You bet.
We're going to be back with more of the Green Country Gardener program in just a moment after this 2-minute, 10-second timeout.
Peter's True Value in Dewey is your one-stop shop for just about anything and everything you could want or need. Peter's True Value can help you select the right products for the right job. They offer a big selection of quality products along with some great advice. So be sure to check out every aisle for hot deals, seasonal favorites, and home basics. That's Peter's True Value in Dewey.
January is the month to shop Roman Chevrolet Buick, your Silverado City in Independence, for military and student discounts. Check out the sharp 2021 Chevrolet Trax. MSRP is $23,850, but at Roman's, you pay $19,900. Looking for a pre-owned Silverado? Roman's has more than 20 with thousands in savings. Special discounts this month for all military, active, and retired, as well as students. Brand new or pre-owned, shop the huge selection online or stop by 2313 West Main in Independence. Roman's, your Silverado City.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Your number one radio station. We're K1, AM 1400, and now 93.3 FM.
Oh, yeah. We are back with the Green Country Gardener program. And, Rain's going to be with us here for a while. We're just taking a look at a variety of different weather maps here. And it looks like we are just nailed when it comes to Kansas and Oklahoma this morning. Bartlesville, the Caney, the Coffeyville, Independence, all the way down to Claremore, Tulsa, Bixby, and Ponca City even.
Golly, it's starting to run out around Oklahoma City a little bit. So.
A little bit, but everything to the north and to the east from like McAllister, and you go up to Enid as it starts to make that north-northeaster. It's wet.
I hope that's not a precursor to spring. You should see my schedule. Good golly.
Yeah.
For January, we're busy.
For January, you're busy?
We're very busy. We got a lot of stuff lined up.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. So last week, we went through a list of trees that were my favorites. Starting with...
These are a few of his favorite trees.
Yeah. Golly, I got the list here. My printer ran out of ink this week, but I managed to get it going again. I started out with number 10, the London Plane Tree, and number 9, the Bald Cypress.
Yeah.
Urbanite Ash, Red Maple, Shumard Oak, White Oak, Northern Red Oak, Chinese Pistache, Chinese Elm, and Ginkgo being the most favorite.
Yes.
So, those are really nice trees.
They are.
They're deeply rooted, and they grow in our climate very well without any problems. And some of them don't get too big, some of them get giant, so it depends on where you want.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
They grow slow, though.
No, not necessarily.
You don't?
No, not really. Now comes the least favorite tree.
The least favorite trees.
And on the top of the list, the least favorite tree in the whole world is Atlanthus altissima. Yes, otherwise known as the Tree of Heaven.
Why would that be the least favorite tree?
Because it grows very, very fast.
Yep.
Which is kind of a fine attribute for about anything, really.
Mm-hmm.
But for a tree, that's not good. And it's kind of it's a weedy kind of thing, too.
It's a weedy tree.
It's a weedy tree, and it has these real long leaf. It's a compound leaf, real long leaflet, all kinds of little leaflets on it.
Got it.
And it grows very quickly. Kind of like bamboo. It just grows very, very fast.
Like that.
It comes up a lot in cracks in the concrete or something like that. And its root system is very aggressive, and it can just tear stuff up.
Wow.
And the reason why I don't like it too well is because it's weak wooded.
Uh-huh.
And it grows quickly, and it's very difficult to get rid of if you don't want it.
But they call it a tree from heaven. Maybe they should rename it to a tree from some other place.
Not necessarily. It's a good name, but it's relatively disease and insect free.
Oh,
nothing,
okay. So nothing it really grows likes, everywhere.
Nothing really likes it, but it's kind of like a giant dandelion. It just sort of comes up everywhere.
What kind's that?
Atlanthus altissima, tree of heaven. So anyway, you see that growing.
I'm just
a lot.
Following along on this one.
And I see this. I look at news reports from all over the world, and it's growing everywhere.
Yeah.
In Russia, in China, in Australia, and in Bartlesville, and even in Tulsa, it grows.
Does it live at your house?
No.
A tree grows.
Nothing
in
will
Tulsa.
Grow. That's Mars.
Yeah.
Hey, I was hearing you talk about your hen bit. Are you going to have a pretty good crop?
Yeah, great crop of hen bit. Yeah.
You know, I think I nailed mine.
Oh, yeah?
We'll see.
Did you sing it last week?
No, in November.
Oh, November. Oh, that's right. You said you're going to put down the Roundup.
Round up that thing, and I could see a little hen bit out there, and I think she might be a goner.
Okay. Get 55 gallons of Roundup for one plant. Yeah.
Pretty purple flowers.
Yeah, I know. It's a real pest. And the main problem with that one is it just bogs down your lawnmower in the spring. You just
it's
can't
like,
mow
it's
your grass.
It's like crabgrass in the summer.
It's awful.
It?
But yeah, when it warms up, it just goes away.
Well, I know, but it's just... if you can get rid of it, it's not going to come back for a while.
Yeah, sharpen that blade, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
anyway.
So yeah, I mentioned it earlier.
Here's the other thing about this rain.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had enough. for the time being.
I know, the ground is wet.
But if we do get the zinger they're talking about, they're saying a zinger is coming.
When?
Next weekend.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yep.
Here we go.
That's the rumor, isn't it, Tom?
Yep. Thursday night into Friday, there is a chance of snow, but even a bigger chance, perhaps, as you get into Saturday.
Huh. But it's supposed to get cold, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, the handle on my snow shovel rotted.
26.
How much?
26 for the overnight low on Thursday night. Friday, only a high of 44, but yes, there will be some colder days beyond that.
Hmm. Isn't that a zinger? What's a zinger?
A zinger is a weather extreme. It could be anything from a really hot day.
Like below, below 20?
A really cold day, a real heavy snow.
Around here, below 20 would be a zinger.
For a daytime high? Yes.
Well, I mean, just to get low.
Yeah, that's cold.
That's cold here.
Yeah. Good day. Good
there is some parts of the country that's just... That's a spring
day.
I can remember as a kid up in Chicago walking to the school bus at 3 degrees.
Yeah.
We close schools here when it's 3 degrees. I've seen that.
Yeah. You see the clothes dryers running up and down the road down there.
So
fog coming up. You lived up there. You
yes, I do.
Yeah.
I know it well.
So, Larry, should we start... I heard you talking about your Encore Azalea. I got one of those, and I'm telling you, thing blooms just all the time.
Mm-hmm. You have it out in the sun.
It actually...
You don't have any shade anyway. I mean, not yet. No. You're working on it.
Oh, I'm getting a forest out there.
Yeah.
So, but it does. It blooms.
Yeah, they're good plants. Every time we plant them, they do very well. They like good drainage. So... which you don't have, but anyway, no. And a good acidic soil, which you have somewhat acidic soil.
So could I go ahead and cut my monkey grass off and just whack it down?
No, not till the zinger's over with.
Don't do it yet?
I like to wait till almost the 1st of March for that, really.
Really?
Oh, yeah. February is still, we could still get some anomalous weather in February.
But it's not going to kill it.
It might set it back. I've seen people monkey grass actually freeze out. From the cold.
Okay.
So I would wait.
So should we put our what do you call it, an inoculate?
Yeah, inoculate, yeah.
No, around everything yet to get the boars?
No. They're not actively growing yet, no. It depends on what tree you're planting you're putting it around too. Like on my maple trees, when they bloom, they're just humming with bees.
They are.
So I'll wait till after the blooms are gone to put the imidacloprid on.
Okay.
So it don't hurt the bees.
Okay.
There's theories behind it doing it, and there's theories behind it not doing damage to the bees. So they still won't know.
Theories.
They don't know yet. If it's.
We got to follow the science, Tom.
Follow the science.
Follow the science.
Yeah.
Man, I'm tired of that phrase.
My second least favorite tree is. The sweet gum.
You know what? The only good thing. You know? Did you know? Seriously.
I mentioned a good thing for the sweet gum.
No, the problem with sweet gum is the balls.
Yeah.
But did you know I had a sweet gum tree actually die? The boars got it.
Yeah, that's another thing. Surface roots, gum balls, boars.
Yeah, they're surface roots.
And improperly used in the landscape.
Of course, maples have surface roots too.
Yeah. Not all of them.
I know. But if you don't have a very big yard, I wouldn't put a sweet gum.
Not a sweet gum. Oh, no. There's some in, golly, somebody in town is just selling sweet gums left and right. And there are a lot of old ones in town.
Now, I could put them and put it out away from, it doesn't matter then.
You know what it takes to get all the roots out of one of those?
No.
Jiminy Cricket, but bulldozer.
That's it. D8 cat. To get the roots out.
They can be a real pain in the neck.
So that's a tree you don't like. What else?
Now, sweet gums actually didn't do very well in riversides, creek beds, and all that, because that root system does a whole lot to hold the soil.
Do they actually make gum out of those? Can you make gum out of
them? I don't know
where
the gum name came from, really. It's just,
I don't know if you could chew those balls or peel off some bark and chew it.
Your son, the dentist,
he would like that, wouldn't he?
You'll keep him employed eating those
things. Yeah.
So that's
river birch.
That's another. I'm not a River Birch fan.
It's one of my least favorites. Also,
me too.
It's the third least favorite. Anyway, weak wood, surface roots.
Yeah.
And
so what's your least favorite?
Absolute least favorite? Well, it's a tie between the River Birch and Sweet Gum.
Oh.
And probably the Silver Maple's another one.
Oh, that's a bad one.
Silver Maple.
I'm with Larry.
Weak wood, surface roots, messy seeds.
Yes.
And once again, improperly used in the landscape. People, I want a fast-growing tree. Or they got a tree coming up in the yard. Oh, look, I've got a tree coming up. Yeah, it grew 6 feet this year.
But I got to tell you, you get your nice red oak, they'll grow pretty quick.
You can't beat them. Yeah. The next next one is poplar.
Oh, those are bad, Larry.
They have weak wood, surface roots, messy roots, seeds, bores, and they plug up your air conditioner radiator.
And they plug up, used to plug up sewers, but not anymore because we have good old plastic PVC pipe.
Yeah.
Made out of petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
Heard that.
Roots don't get in there.
No, roots don't get in at all, no.
Nope.
The next least popular is black willow.
Black willow.
Black willow.
You know that one, Tom?
No, I don't.
It's a native growing tree. It's a willow tree that doesn't weep, basically. It has heavily fissured bark on it. It kind of grows at an angle. And sort of, you see it a lot on creek beds and things.
Okay.
And some people misplace this, say, for instance, a weeping willow or something, because it looks similar when it's really young.
You like weeping willows?
They have their place. I like to use them by ponds and whatnot.
And creeks.
And
I put a bunch by my creek there.
Yeah, keep them away from shallow soil.
Yeah.
But anyway, the black willow is a native plant. It has surface roots, a lot of seeds, and they can plug up your AC radiator as well. And they just drop stuff all the time.
So okay, we don't want one of those.
Corkscrew willow is another one. It's an interesting plant, corkscrew willow. Salix macedana trigulosa.
I have a corkscrew locust.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
It's having a hard time, though.
Yeah, it's kind of weak-wooded and it's disease-prone.
Yeah.
It's an interesting specimen in the landscape, and that the leaves, the stems are all curly like that. But it's often not really placed in the right. It has its place in the landscape, but people put it too close to the house.
Not very many.
The next one is the Bradford pear.
Ooh.
The Bradford pear is a weak-wooded. The flowers are kind of messy. And it's invasive. The species is invasive. You look along Silver Lake Road and some parts, even out on Bison Road over there close to Tuxedo, on the southeast side, there's a whole forest of Bradford pear.
I've got a forest of them in my back pasture.
Yeah.
Back, not on my, but right on the fence row.
Yeah.
Oh. And I'm cutting them out and killing them as
time goes
on.
It's kind of been an invasive species, too.
They are.
And the next one is catalpa.
The what?
Catalpa. Great big leaves on it.
Like a sycamore.
No, a little different species. Hmm. But anyway, it has a really large fuzzy leaf on it and very rapid growing stems. And it's weak wooded. It's very susceptible to borers. It's very shallow rooted. It's very disease prone. But this tree looks kind of exotic, if you will. It looks almost tropical. Because of the leaf size and all that,
mm-hmm.
and the flowers look like kind of like orchids, and it has these big bean pods that hang down, which are kind of cool. You find these growing under bridges and stuff like that. Anyway, catalpa bignanoides, and it has a kind of a pretty flower, and it looks almost tropical, but it's kind of weak, and short lived too.
What's the cousin to the Bradford pear? Is it a Cleveland?
Well, the Bradford pear is a member of a group of pears called calorie pears. And that includes the Bradford pear, the aristocrat pear, the red spire pear, which the red spire pear actually is fairly desirable, actually.
Yeah.
Capital pear, White House pear, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The aristocrat, I think I mentioned that one. But anyway, they all have a kind of a similar leaf structure, different branching structure, which is kind of a determining factor in this particular species as far as desirability. Bradford pears, they grow up and they peel off like orange segments when we get a lot of ice or something. But the aristocrat pear has less of a tendency to do that, and the red spire pear has even less of a tendency to do that. It all depends on the branching structure. Now they say if you get a Bradford pear, you can prune it when it's young to have a stronger structure.
Well, there are not many of them around here.
But you want to set up a T-post out there and hang your pruners on it.
You can be using them enough.
Because, all I know
because
is,
you're too lazy to go back to the garage every time you turn around to prune that thing.
Our light and variable winds here in the spring just snap them off.
Light and variable.
You know, those 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Oh, yeah. One we take is you go up Silver Lake Road with the doors open and turn off the engine sometimes.
Yeah.
It gets so windy.
You go sailing.
I just sail down there. But anyway.
One of my least favorite, Larry, is the sycamore.
The sycamore is okay.
They're weak-wooded.
They're weak-wooded and all that.
They're messy.
And I didn't include this in the list because they do have some attributes.
But it's just
messy.
But
you can't plant them close to the house.
And the leaves are so big, they never go away.
Oh, and leaf anthracnose. Oh, my gosh. In the spring, they fall off prematurely.
And they've got a little ball on them, too.
Yes, they do. So. But they didn't make the least favorite list.
Of yours.
Yeah, they're kind of a medium.
I can have a list.
Okay. And probably number 10 is the pin oak.
What?
That's the least.
It's like a red oak.
That's the least. No, it isn't. That's the least of the least favorite trees. Pin oak. It has shallow roots.
Oh, yeah.
Lots and lots of acorns.
Uh-huh.
The branches on it, that when they're young, they descend down. And you have to constantly prune these branches to keep it up off the ground when it's as it grows. Yes.
Is it part of the white oak family?
It's red oak.
It's a red oak.
It's terrible around here with chlorosis, our high pH soil. It has iron. Has a difficult time with iron take up when the pH is too high. So it gets chlorosis real bad. It gets oak rot and it also gets anthracnose.
So what about out in the western part of the state? A pin oak.
They won't make it. They're too shallow rooted out there.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. You'll find some.
I didn't know because there's lots of iron out in the soil out there.
Yeah, but the climate.
Too hot.
Now, you might find some occasionally in creek beds and whatnot. But you see some shumards out there and some white oaks, things growing out there too.
Yeah.
But it's not pin oak country out there. But here they will do well. And they have their place in the landscape once again, creek beds and whatnot. You look along the Candy River over here, go down, you see late in the fall, you'll see some leaves or some oaks with persistent leaves on them. Those are the pin oaks.
Okay.
They're also identified by a very deep sinus on the leaf and a rather pronounced point on the tip also.
So when you get the volunteer oaks coming up in your yard or wherever and you've had red oaks, does that revert back to a pin oak?
No.
It doesn't.
Different species.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You might get a crossbreed or something, but...
A hack breed or something.
I had a water oak slash a shumard to come up in the yard and transplant it. Well, it didn't make it.
A cross?
Yeah, it didn't make it, though. I tried to plant it in that old rock, and it didn't make it.
Oh, down there on Mars?
Yeah, on Mars, yeah. But nonetheless, that can happen, so...
Yeah. All right.
Alrighty.
You need a break, Tom?
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We're going to take a 2-minute, 10-second timeout. We'll be right back after these.
Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses is home to Bartlesville's largest selection of tropical plants for your home. Green Thumb has newly arrived musical-tuned wind chimes for your front porch or just to hang in the tree. While you're at Green Thumb, be sure to check out their 5 to 7 gallon trees, now 30% off. Bromeliads are 20% off, and 4.5-inch small fiddle leaves are 30% off. That's Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses on No Water Road, home of Bartlesville's largest selection of houseplants, tropicals, and more. New winter hours are 10 to 4 Friday and Saturday, or by appointment.
Food is the subject on the Dining Guides between 11 and noon Monday through Friday on sister stations 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 FM KREG. Learn about Wheezy's Cafe, El Rey Del Burrito Express, Price's Old Fashioned Meat Market, Szechuan Chinese Restaurant, Avila's Mexican Buffet, Speedy Drinks, and KFC, all in Bartlesville. CV's in Dewey and Copan Restaurant and Truck Stop. The Dining Guides on 100.1 KYFM and 104.9 K-Rig.
K1 loves birthdays. Each morning, we announce all area birthdays, and one name is chosen to receive a certificate for a birthday meal from Dink's Pit Barbecue or Sterling's Grill. If you or someone you know has an upcoming birthday, give us a call, 918-336-1001. Give us the details. We'll announce their name and maybe choose them as our daily winner on our K1 Birthday Club.
Happy birthday!
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The voice of Bartlesville, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Yeah! It's 8:54 and still raining, and probably will for a while. You're back with the Green Country Gardener program. Here's Larry Glass. Larry, what we got there for you?
Ah, there we go.
There you go.
Cool. Anyway, and going from this list of trees, it's kind of important to really kind of know your soil, your terrain, and how far away from the house and all that when picking out a tree. There's some, as I mentioned last week, that have very good attributes, and some, as I mentioned this week, that don't have good attributes. And a lot of these trees on today's list, we don't even sell. So
they're that bad, huh?
Well, some of them aren't that bad, but it's where people put them in the landscape.
Yeah.
I've seen river birch, you know, this far away from the house.
He just did that.
I just cringe when I see that. And I said, you know how big those plants get? You know how big the river birch gets? And the root system goes under the house, and it'll actually just lift the foundation, if it's a slab foundation.
Which is not good.
No, it isn't. You get cracking in the house, and it'll ruin a driveway, et cetera, et cetera. So you just got to know what's going on with these plants before you pick one out and before you plant them there.
And remember, location, location.
Location. Yeah, there's a river birch I know somewhere that's it's just this far away from the, closer than that.
4.5 feet?
It's about 2 feet away from the driveway, and the driveway is buckled. You got tripping hazards around like that and crumbling concrete and so on. So anyway,
I've seen that.
You just be very careful what you pick out. And if you want a plant like that, we can advise other species. Yeah. What I mentioned earlier today, the paperbark maple.
Yes.
It has that same architectural appearance. And that's why people pick out these river birches. They look really, really nice when you first put them in because of the rather dramatic bark on the trunk. And the stem structure is very architectural, if you will. And that's why they use them close to the house. But 15 years later, who planted this tree?
Pierre.
So, anyway.
I'll tell you what, we're going to have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back here with the Green Country Gardener program after this 2-minute, 10-second timeout.
In the early 1900s, the world was changing, and the United States was taking its place as the premier industrial and political power in the world. The newest frontier was not the Wild West as much as it was industry and technology. The world was changing around Bartlesville and in Osage County as well during this time. Frank Phillips and his brother L.E. were growing tired of the boom and bust of the oil business and were in the process of selling off their oil leases and making plans to expand their banking business and making Kansas City their headquarters. The Phillips brothers owned lease 185 in Osage County, and by the terms of the lease, if they didn't drill it, they lost it. Well, it wasn't Frank Phillips' nature to walk away from an investment with at least trying, so rather than lose it, they decided to drill for oil, and they drilled 6 dry holes on that lease. And then finally, on their 7th try, they hit oil at around 100 barrels a day. Encouraged, they drilled one more just to the west. And on March 22, 1917, Frank Phillips stood on the drilling platform when the earth and all around him began to tremble. The well exploded with a gusher of over 1,000 barrels a day. It has been said that that well was the beginning of Phillips Petroleum Company and therefore the history and legacy of Frank Phillips. Thanks to that well, we still have Willow Rock to remember the West, the oil, and the history of Frank and Jane Phillips. Come visit the past and capture the magic of Willow Rock. Welcome home to Willow Rock.
68 million Americans are putting their family's financial future at risk by not having enough life insurance. David Woods, president of the Life Foundation.
If something happens to the breadwinner, who's going to pay the mortgage? Who's going to send the kids to college? Who's going to buy the clothes, put food on the table? The consequences can be devastating if you don't have life insurance.
Life insurance costs are at their lowest point ever.
Life insurance isn't a luxury, it's a necessity.
A message from the nonprofit Life Foundation.
Bartlesville's News Talk, K1 AM 1400 and 93.3 FM.
Green Country Gardener Program, got about a minute left, Larry.
Hey, golly, at the nursery, things are cooking. We're getting all kinds of stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
We've got shrubs and trees booked for the spring, and they'll be coming in when the time is right. Usually they come in, we get all these plants, everything all lined up real nice and pretty. And then what do guys do? You bring in the cold weather. It gets like 25 degrees, and we've got hundreds of thousands of dollars of inventory out there. We got to cover it all up. Thank you.
Yeah, well, we're working on it.
Anyway, we're getting ready for spring. Mm-hmm. Things are cooking. We've got, I have all kinds of house plants right now, all kinds of new remedies for problems in your landscape. And golly, and wind chimes and whatnot, and by all means, before you do any of your landscaping, get some compost and sharpen that shovel and get that ground ready. We'll see you next week.
All righty, take care. We got news coming up next.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of life insurance. Call Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Johnson & Johnson says it will seek FDA emergency use authorization next week.